The Lord's bringing a new heaven and a new earth. Now we just need him to open our minds and our hearts so that we can hear and see what he's doing. A sister in the Lord came to me recently and asked me, "Do you know that God loves you? And do you love yourself?" I was taken aback, and honestly, if I didn't know you all so well, I probably wouldn't share what I said to her. But since I've known a lot of you, I'm going to share my pathetic response. I said, "I know he loves me, except when I don't. And I love myself, except when I don't." I felt embarrassed that having walked with God now for 40 years, that I didn't have a better testimony to share with this sister. I know that I was having a bad day and she was trying to console me, but my testimony was so pathetic that I went before the Lord and asked him to show me how much he loves me. And here is what he said. Philippians 2, starting with verse 1. "Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one in mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain deceit or conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the other. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death of the cross. Wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth." What a beautiful letter that Paul writes to the Philippians during his imprisonment in Rome. I think of Paul and all that he suffered, and of all the apostles, there was none greater than he. I think that if I were to meet him in person, to see him would have been to see the face of Jesus. God is so unconditional in his love and so full of grace and mercy. And now we have Paul, who was once a murderer, writing us these beautiful words that reveal the very heart of God to us. No man can write scripture like this unless he has known and seen God and understood the heart of God that is in his Son. Jesus is the form of God. He was with God in the beginning and didn't think that he was robbing God to be equal with God, but he left that all behind and came down from heaven to show us heaven on earth. Heaven on earth was revealed to us in the Son of Man, a man acquainted with much sorrow and grief over what he had heard men doing and what he had seen them doing to each other. He took all of that sorrow and grief and sin and bore it in his heart and body and crucified it on the cross so that we could experience light instead of darkness, love instead of hatred, goodness instead of evil, and instead of dying, we now have life eternal through him. So God just did a beautiful thing for me that I asked for. He showed me his love for me, and I hope that that is a blessing for you too. He is never going to leave us. He is never going to forsake us. He is coming back for us. God not only revealed his love for me, now he begins to speak to me about his bride and that she is his prize. Maybe you never saw yourself this way before. He's our prize, but we are his prize. That is how he thinks of his bride. He is coming for us in his many-membered body, his bride, the one who is a co-laborer with him in the faith, and she's going to bear him much fruit. She was with him in the beginning. Isn't that what the Word of God tells us, that we are seated with him in the heavenly places? God made us in his image, male and female he made them. Who is the bride, and who does she look like? She's her groom. She looks like her groom. To see Jesus is to see the Father. To see the Father is to see Jesus. To see the bride is to see Jesus. And to see Jesus is to see the bride. So no matter how you see it, our Father is revealing his Son in the earth because he loves the Son, and he is giving him his kingdom. The kingdom is not empty. It is filled with the fruit that the groom and bride have offered up to their Father. What are we to do with God's love? We are to be co-laborers with Jesus in bearing the Father fruit. Can we see ourselves this way, as a bride bearing the fruit of the groom that is being offered up to God? If we can see ourselves as God sees us, then we can have faith for what he wants. When you have faith, it is because you have heard the Father speaking. Faith comes by hearing. Do you want to hear? Do you want to see? If you can hear God, you will have faith, and then you can change the world with just a word. You are here for a reason. You live where you live and work where you work, and your feet have been planted where you are, because in the circle of your influence, God wants to use you to change that world of influence. Do you get disappointed in yourself? Do you get frustrated because you want more of God? Then pray that your mind will be renewed so that it is no longer you thinking, but God's mind is now at work in you. When is the last time you saw the world turned upside down for God? Not lately, because the world is going in the wrong direction. The yo-yos who are leading us are the blind leading the blind. We need true leadership, the sons of God who have the mind of Christ. These are the co-laborers with Christ in bringing forth his kingdom. These are the fruit of his labors, the ones he died for. Our minds need to be transformed. Our minds need to be opened to understand the scriptures. There was a world that was turned upside down for God by our forefathers in the faith, but we have not seen this kind of change in our lifetime. We need to stop listening to man, and we need to stop and listen to God. Only God can change the course the world is on. He is going to do this with his co-laborers, and everything we have seen and heard in the world. Does anyone honestly think that man with his natural mind can change anything? If the kingdom does not come and man continues on his course, there would be no one to survive the evil that is about to come on the earth. But God has spoken and written that light will not be overcome by darkness. This world is being run by people who do not have light. Pray that the Lord brings them to the light. Let's stop speculating and start revelating, if that's even a word. But we need revelation from God. If the world is going to change, it will change when the sons of God, who know and understand him, come on the scene with power and authority from on high. Let's look at examples of true co-laborers in the Word. You will see they are just like us. They knew nothing until their minds were opened. They went from being timid and scared to being bold and powerful, and we will see why. Luke 24, beginning with verse 36, is Luke's testimony of what Jesus said after he died and rose from the dead and came back to minister to his disciples. While they were talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking that they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" Oh, I just love that. Here he is fellowshipping. Again, "Do you have anything to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. Then he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." We are to stay in the city until we have been clothed with power from on high. This is what the disciples did. They stayed in the upper room, left everything else behind, and remember that there was a lot going on at that time. People were still devastated over what they had experienced with the loss of their Christ, but now they are encouraged because Jesus came back to minister to them. Remember the recent prophecies that have come here? The Lord is trying to encourage us with visions and prophecies. The Lord is the door, and he has opened the door to the Holy of Holies. And if we come in, he will clothe us with clothing of truth and righteousness. John 14, beginning with verse 1. "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." So how do we change the world? First, let God show you how much he loves you. Secondly, listen to him. Ask him to open our minds and ears to hear him and understand what he is saying. Then follow through and do what you hear him saying to you. Stay in the upper room until you are filled with his Holy Spirit. When we pray, "Pour out your Holy Spirit," what are we really saying? Aren't we really saying, "Lord, pour out your heart to us"? It is pleasing to God for us to cry out to him. Here is another key to what you need if you really want God to act on your behalf and to give you what you are asking for. I hope we are asking God to fulfill every promise he has ever given us. The promises are for us and our children and our children's children. Ask and you shall receive. Knock and the doors will be opened to you. It is God's good pleasure to give you the desires of your heart. Here is what he said. Be like the widow woman. Luke 18. Even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones? The ones who cry out to him day and night, will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith in the earth? That's the question. Jesus is asking, when he comes, will he find faith? Faith comes by hearing. Faith means so much to Jesus that when we don't have it, he wept. Faith is so pleasing to Jesus, he is asking, will faith be here when he returns? You have faith when you hear him. He wants to be heard. And when you do hear him, you need to speak up. Because when you speak up, you keep the body growing and you edify it. God is revealed in the written word and in the spoken word. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Jesus was more than a prophet, but let's look at what prophets do. They are seers. They have the ability from God to see what is happening in the realm of spirit. If you can see what is happening, then you know how to pray. This is important because God works through our faith and our prayers. If you want to help me or others, the best way is to seek God and find out what he is saying and then pray and then come and tell me, speak to me about what God is saying to you. A person's life can change if you can see what God is doing and then you have faith and you know how to pray. Jesus walked in the prophetic realm. He could see ahead of things to come, and then he had faith to change the course of men's lives by the spoken word. Jesus knew how to pray and what to pray for because he understood the situation. Do you remember when Peter denied Jesus? Luke 22. Jesus could already see in the spirit what Peter was going to do, that he was going to deny him. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you, to sift all of you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. But he replied, Lord, I'm ready to go with you to prison and to death. Jesus answered, I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times that you ever knew me. Jesus could see that Peter was going to deny him three times. It's interesting here that you see that Satan had to ask permission to sift him. Not only did Jesus see and know what Peter was going to do, he could already see the outcome before it happened. He said, and when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. What is the point of coming to church if you can't hear God? I wouldn't even bother to come to church if you can't hear, see, and experience God. What is the point of having church? It should not be so that we can feel good. We want to change. We want to be changed in his image, and we want to see what he is doing. Let's talk about the church. The church is not four walls, and it is not a building or place where we come to socialize. The church is the bride of Christ. Can we start identifying ourselves as the bride of Christ? Because Jesus is coming for the bride. The testimony of the bride should be the same testimony of her groom. Jesus' testimony is the spirit of prophecy. God is changing things. We have been used to who we know are prophets prophesying. But the bride is going to prophesy now. And so are the children, the sons and daughters of the bride and groom. Amen. Joel 2:28. And we hear the scriptures repeated in Acts 2. I don't want to go through all this because I know we've been here a long time, but we keep hearing how Joel speaks about God pouring out his spirit on all flesh, right? And his sons and daughters will prophesy. Then Peter stands up after the Holy Spirit has come, and people don't know what to make of it. They're even accusing the people of being drunk. Okay, so they didn't really understand what was happening, but they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Peter says, these people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken of by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Are we in the last days? If you believe that this world is passing away and a new world has come and is coming, then you know you are in the last days. We don't want to speculate about the day or hour when Jesus will actually return. He does not know the day or hour because God has not revealed it to him, not yet, or we would not be talking about it. We would be living it. Instead, he says, we are the temple of the living God. I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. My temple is still here. Your temple is still here. So I guess that means that God is still living and dwelling in us now, right? I don't want to waste my time with speculation. And one more thing on this subject, and then I'm going to let it go. It's a pet peeve of mine. Some Christians are so focused on trying to determine the exact day and hour that Jesus will return that they're scaring people. Jesus has made it very clear that he does not want us to be concerned about this. It is a waste of our time. Acts 1, the disciples were inquiring about these things. Then they gathered around him and asked, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Okay? So this is what the focus is. Jesus is telling us what the focus is. You will receive power, and when the Holy Spirit comes on you, then you will be my witnesses. So this is what we should be doing. It is easier for men who are religious to talk about God, but it is another thing when you are God's mouthpiece. The living word of God comes to us, and his word always speaks of who he is. Who is God? He's light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from darkness. God has willed that light will always be separate from darkness. Not only does his word speak of him as light, he gave us the day and night as a witness of himself. Light and darkness are separate. There can be no darkness in Jesus because he is light. Revelation 22, verse 5. There will be no night, no more night. They will not need the light of the lamp or the sun, light of the sun, for the Lord will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. In the kingdom, there is only light. Isaiah 60, Verse 1, arise, Jerusalem, let your light shine for all to see, for the glory of the Lord rises on you. The light has come. Arise and shine. The light has come. That's pretty cool that God begins his day right by rising up to shine on us. How do you rise in the morning? Do you need a cup of coffee or can you rise to meet him? God starts his day by rising to shine on us. That's just so cool. Jesus is the living word of God, the one who is also interceding for us. Do you wonder what he prays for? He told us how to pray the prayers he prays. The Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus is praying that when he returns, will he find faith? And I'm saying, yes, he's going to find faith. What are you believing for? What do you have faith for? We are running a race of faith because we want the prize, who is Jesus. It makes no difference to God where you came from, what your heritage or natural race is, whether you are male or female. He died for you, and now he's going to return for you because now you are his prize. Listen to the words that have been coming lately. They are being expressed through various vessels, but the same word is coming. We are entering a new realm of light. Our minds are being opened. Our ears are being opened. Our hearts are being opened. Why? Because God is opening them so that we can understand him. Why? Because there are things about him that eyes have not seen or ears heard, and he wants to be heard, and he wants to reveal them to us, but are we ready? The bride is the one who is coming down from God out of heaven. She has been sanctified and cleansed with the washing of the water by the word. Revelations 21, 1 and 2. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Romans 8, and we're going to be finishing up here in just a little bit. Stay with me. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. Creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. The children of God are the fruit of the bride and groom who labor together for the release of creation. In the Old Testament, Israel is represented as the wife of Jehovah. Israel was unfaithful to Jehovah and was dispersed by the Father to the wilderness of the world. But Israel will be restored to favor when Jesus presents his bride to God. The church is presented as the bride of Christ, the Son, and he has returned to his Father to prepare a place for her. The bride is making herself ready for the place he has prepared for her. Corinthians 11, 2. For I am a jealous God, for I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy, for I betrothed you to one husband and to Christ that I might present you as a virgin. Isaiah 54, 5. For your maker is your husband. The Lord Almighty is his name. The Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer. He is called the God of all the earth. The Lord will call you back as if you were a wife deserted and distressed in spirit, a wife who married young only to be rejected, says your God. For a brief moment, I abandoned you, but with deep compassion, I will bring you back. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer up your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And then I want to say and end with Revelations 22, what the Lord and what the Spirit is calling. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let the one who hears, and let the one who hears say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who wishes take the free gift of the water of life. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for showing us how much you love and care for us. We are your prize, and you are coming for us. Continue to open our minds now to understand the scriptures and take us from glory to glory in your presence. We want you to find faith in our hearts when you return for us. The world needs to see you, Father, coming in power and authority, and we pray that you will reveal yourself to us in power and in glory. We pray in Jesus' name, be glorified in us, that all men may know you and come to the light.